Moses, Mount Sinai, goes to talk to God to get the law. And he stands before a burning bush. Okay. He gets there. He says, Moses, take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. Moses says, fine. They're not very comfortable anyway. I'm good. And then the burning bush is burning, but it's not consumed. Interesting. And then Moses says, God, when they ask me who you are, who shall I say you are? And God, this mythical Morgan Freeman voice of God, or Charlton Heston maybe, comes in and says, I am. And Moses says, great, I understand that. Thanks, Moses. We really appreciate that. But when they say, who is his words, say, I am. Well, wait, no, I am. Say, the great I am. Okay, the great I am. So he comes down from the mountain, and they're having a party and carrying on, and they go, okay, what's the name of God? And he says, I am. And they were like, well, wait a second. Yeah, I think we're having participle trouble here, Moses. Well, I think there's a grammatical part of speech that's being confused here. Who did you say God was? I am. He could have just as easily said the name of God is me. Okay?
Yeah.
And that's the whole point. That's the whole point, that you are the deity. And once you come into that place of knowing, then all of a sudden that becomes a way of coming into your power. Now, we're not pushing against anything. We love and appreciate all religions, all dogmas, all kind of things, whatever it is. Get you a big old pipe full of it and smoke it. It's all right with us. But the point is when you start taking into the notion that you are indeed the creator of your own reality, then all of a sudden, there's no one there to blame. When you start taking culpable responsibility for your reality, of everything that's in your reality, as your personal vestiture of your own knowing, then guess what? It becomes very empowering. So if your life is all screwed up, you screwed it up. Well, if you could come to that place, you could go, well, if I screwed it up, I can straighten it up. And then all of a sudden your world becomes a euphorically blissful, wonderful experience. And you go, wow, yes, I had some contrast there, but it's better now. I'm good.
Yes, there's been a lot of reference to a question I'm going to bring up right now today, starting with the name of God is I Am. And there is a young girl, age 12, her name is Akiana. She's been getting visions and inspirations from God since age 4 and painting since age 6. She describes visits to heaven and the millions of colors that she sees there. Her mother was an atheist, and she spoke to her mother, I don't know at what age, and said, you have to believe me. This is what God wants me to do, as in all this painting, etc. And she says, God looks very pure. He's masculine, strong, and big, and has big, beautiful eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's explaining himself to me and what he does to this world. So how do these visions fit into what Ion is talking about as we are the God I am?
Yes, very simply. That's great. What's happened is it's only allowed. It's only in the level or degree of allowance. Okay? If you believe in Jesus, you get Jesus. If you believe in Buddha, you get Buddha. You're the marvelous creator. And so that's why we push against none of them. We don't push against any of them. We love and appreciate them all. As long as that individual dogma brings the human creator back into the coalescing of coming into their own power. Hear what her words were. He's telling me things. God is manifesting himself in my world. I understand. You've got to believe me. These wonderful colors, these wonderful expressions, that's what's hidden on the other side of the veil. And for her, there's no reason for that thinning to be an occurrence for her. And so, therefore, it's becoming as a manifestation.
I guess, you know, what struck me was, at age 4, she has this inspired vision of a actual God. Her mother was an atheist. I suppose she was exposed in some ways to the biblical
See, the little
Bible
ones,
world.
The little ones that come forth are come fresher from source. They come fresher from the Gulf. So it's not unusual for them to see things that mom and daddy can't see.
But why does she call it Jesus and a masculine image and puts all the cultural icons up there that at age 4, how is she exposed to that?
Very easily, very, very simply. Because of the atheistic family background that she comes from, she's looking for validation and vindication for that which is not explained or known that she can explain or know. You have a good atheist. Now, we don't have anything against atheists. We have nothing against them. But atheists aren't in the preachy mode of Jesus loves me, this I know. Okay? And at 4 years old, that's when you start singing that. Or is that Stephen Hawking? Oh, wait, I get confused. Well, even so, you come to that place where if you want something that you can attach your power regarding. You want something that you can attach your power regarding. Did you get that? You want something to attach your power regarding. And if that's a masculine Jesus, okay, fine. It also, many people do it through rocks and crystal liquors, and they do it through all kinds of things.
Like Avatar the movie, they do it through the movie.
Like Avatar the movie, or nature, or ecology, or global warming. Oh, wait, no, that's global cooling.
Or ion.
Absolutely. And we're not here to come, all we're here to do is to bring you into the notion that you are more powerful than you know. You are the center of your universe. You are a deity in this world, your world. And everything that is your reality is because you summons it, period.
Okay.
Every single time, without fail or exception. We'd say, how wonderful, tell us more. Well, we'll tell you how many colors there are. Describe them. Tell us every one. How does this apply? How does it make you feel? Does it comfort you? Does it scare you? Does it excite you? Does it incite you? Does it bring you into a place of peace? Do you have a better understanding of how you are to love? We would engage it to the end, and you would be amazed the answers that they know. They know. The little fellows know. They see spirits. They see what you call dead people. It's not foreign to them until they say that boogeyman's under the bed and it's going to get you. That's how they're able to see it. Well, you look, there's no boogeyman there. Well, guess what? For the individual young human creator, that boogeyman is real. They go, okay, great, Dad, you've got all the answers. Now, what's the answer to this? Well, that's going to come later. You'll figure that out in time. Oh, so there is time. Yes, okay. Oh, so it's bedtime. No, yes, no. Is it time for my show? No, yes. Well, do you have time? No. Oh, wait. You don't have time. You don't have time to go and play with me, but it's my time to go to bed. I'm confused. So you don't have time, and I do have time. Okay. Now, I'm confused now. You need to straighten this out because I'm just a little one. I don't know how this works. Okay. You don't have time to do the things that you should do with me, but I do have time to do my homework. When you start listening to how this whole thing works out, it's very amazing that any of them make it past puberty.